and led him to the impulse thrusters at the stern of the small spacecraft. Twice they had hidden themselves by climbing tall trees, as patrolling Stenos passed below. It seemed not to occur to the mad Fen to look above for their quarry, but Toshio knew they'd be deadly if they ever caught him and Charlie in the open. Charlie removed the rear cover to the maintenance bay between the engines.
"I got in by crawling between the feed lines, over there, till I reached the access plate in that bulkhead."
He pointed. Toshio peered into the maze of pipes. He looked back at Dart, amazed.
"No wonder nobody expected a stowaway. Is this how you got into the armory as well? By climbing through the ducts where no human could fit?"
The planetologist nodded.
"I guess you can't go in with me. That means I gotta get the little critters out by myself, right?"
Toshio nodded.
"I think they're in the aft hold. Here's the voter."
He handed over the translator. It looked like a large medallion hanging from a neck chain. All Neo-chimps knew about voters, since they generally had trouble talking until the age of 3. Charlie slipped it over his head. He started to climb into the small opening, but stopped and looked sidelong at the MIDI.
"Say, Toshio, imagine this was one of those 20th century zoo ships, and those were a bunch of pre-sentient chimps in the hold of a clipper ship, or whatever they used back then, on their way from Africa to some laboratory or circus. Would you have snuck in to rescue them?"
Toshio shrugged.
"I don't honestly know, Charlie. I'd like to think I would have, but I really don't know what I'd have done."
The Neo-chimp met the human's eyes for a long instant. Then he grunted.
"Okay, you guard the rear."
He took a boost from Toshio and squirmed into the mechanical maze. Toshio squatted beneath the thruster tubes and listened to the forest. While Charlie struggled to get the inner access plate off, he made what felt like a terrible racket. Then it stopped. Toshio slid into the forest to make a cautious circuit of the immediate area. From crashing sounds up in the direction of the Kikwi village, he guessed the Stenos were amusing themselves with a destructive spree. He hoped none of the little natives had come back yet to witness, or worse, be caught in the violence. He returned to the longboat and looked at his watch. 17 minutes until the bomb went off. They were cutting it close. He reached into the maintenance area and spent a few minutes twiddling with some of the valves, spoiling their settings. Of course, Takata Jim didn't need the thrusters at all. If he was indeed refueled, he could take off on gravitics. Leaving the access panel loose would decrease the boat's aerodynamic stability, but even that effect would be slight. Longboats like these were built rugged. He stopped and listened. The rampage through the forest was heading this way again. The Fen were on their way back.
"Hurry up, Charlie."
He fingered the grip of his holster needler, not certain he could aim well enough to hit the vulnerable patches where the dolphins were unprotected by the metal-sided spiders.
"Come on!"
There came a series of small, wet, slapping sounds from within the cavity. Intermittent squeaks echoed from the narrow confines, and then he saw a pair of widely splayed, green-finned hands. They were followed by the head of a rather distressed-looking Kikwi. The aboriginal scuttled through the inner panel and crept through the maze of pipes until it leapt into Toshio's arms. Toshio had to peel the frightened creature loose and put it down in order to reach for the next one. The little Kikwi were making a fearful racket, squeaking dolefully. Finally, all four were out. Toshio peered inside and saw Charles Dart trying to replace the inner panel.
"Never mind that,"
Toshio hissed.
"I gotta. Takata Jim will notice the change in air pressure on his panel. It's only luck he hasn't yet."
"Come on, they're..."
He heard the whine of Waldo motors and crushed vegetation.
They're here. I'm going to draw them away from you. Good luck, Charlie.
Wait!
Toshio crawled a few meters into the shrubbery so they would not guess where he came from. Then, from a crouch start, he ran.
There! There! Whaler! Icky Netman! Tuna follower! There! Kill! There!
The steno squawked from very close nearby. Toshio dove behind an ollie nut tree as bolts of blue death sizzled overhead. The kikui screamed and scattered into the forest. Toshio rolled to his feet and ran, trying to keep the tree between him and his pursuers. He heard sounds to the left and right as the fen moved quickly to surround him. His dry suit slowed him down as he tried to reach the shore cliffs before the circle was closed. Chapter 96 Tom Orley. He spent a while listening to the radio, but although he recognized a few species types in the voices, so much of the traffic was intercomputer that there was little to be learned that way. All right, he told himself. Let's work out the proper phrasing. This had better be good. Chapter 97 The Skiff. Denny stumbled over the words she had so carefully prepared. She tried to rephrase her arguments, but Ikahi stopped her.
Dr. Sudman, you needn't persist. Our next stop is the island anyway. We'll pick up Toshio if he hasn't left already, and perhaps we'll deal with Takata Jim as well. We'll be on our way as soon as Crydike finishes.
Denny exhaled all of her remaining tension. It was out of her hands, then. The professionals would take care of things. She might as well relax.
How long?
Ikahi tossed her head.
Crydike doesn't expect to do any better this time than last. It shouldn't take long. Why don't you and Sao go and rest in the meantime?
Denny nodded and turned to find some space to stretch out in the tiny hold. Sao swam alongside.
Say, Denny, as long as we're trying to relax, want to trade backgrounds?
Denny laughed.
Sure, Sao. Just don't get carried away, okay?
Crydike tried to reason with them one more time. We are desperate, as you once were. We offer hope to little unfinished ones on this very world.
Hope. To grow unbent. Our enemies will harm you as well in time. Help us.
The static pulsed and throbbed in response. It carried a partly psychic feeling of closedness, of pressure and molten heat. It was a claustrophilic song, in praise of rough, hard stone and flowing metal.
Cheese. Peas. Relief. Isolation.
Silence fell suddenly with a squeal of tortured machinery. The old robot, which had so long hung 2 kilometers down the narrow drill tree shaft, had been destroyed. Crydike clicked a familiar phrase in trinary.
It is, that is.
He was tempted to enter the dream again. But there was on this level of reality no time for such things. This level of reality was where duty lay, for the moment. Later, perhaps. Later he would visit Nukupai again. Perhaps she would show him the untellable things that she heard through the vague avenues of prescience. He headed back to the airlock of the tiny spaceship. Ikahi, seeing him approach, started warming up the engines. Chapter 98 Tom Orley. A small group of dolphins spotted a few hundred pactars north of this location. They were moving north quite rapidly. They may have come this way to see what all the fighting was about. Hurry! Now is the time to strike. Tom clicked off the receiver.